Our coverage from New Orleans brought in the most email this week, so that's where we're going to begin our Thursday Letters segment. My colleagues Michelle Norris and Robert Siegel are in the Crescent City, and throughout this Mardi Gras week, we've featured stories about how the city is doing 6 months after Katrina. Erin Flanagan is a native New Orleanian, now living in Elliott, Maine. She was pleased with our coverage. She writes, NPR has demonstrated a thorough understanding of the nature of this event. Mardi Gras is not about bare breasts, beer, and beads on Bourbon Street. That's what the tourists do. The real story is much deeper. It's about traditions and culture that go back hundreds of years. Ms. Flanagan continues, Mardi Gras 2006 was about demonstrating that while the physical structures in the city are broken, the culture and traditions that make New Orleans unique are strong. Charles Hamm of Minnetonka, Minnesota, was impressed by the residents of Honeysuckle Lane. Robert Siegel talked with them in a town hall-style meeting this week. Mr. Hamm writes, it was a shaft of light in the middle of a miserably dark tunnel. To hear the stories of these neighbors pulling themselves up by their own and their collective bootstraps should be a lesson to all of us in the strength and resilience of the human spirit. The strength and resilience of the Matteo family was the subject of a lot of our email. Our reporter Elise Spiegel introduced us to them. The family's home in the Lower Ninth Ward was ruined when the levees broke. John Phelan of Washington, D.C. writes this, in the 6 months since Hurricane Katrina, I've read and heard dozens of stories about the aftermath of that storm, yet none of these stories capture the human cost in the way Elise Spiegel did. She did what great journalists do. She let the subject tell the story, in this case, the Matteo family. The hope, faith, dignity, and optimism Mr. and Mrs. Matteo shared were at once devastating and inspiring. The work of the Red Cross after Katrina was the subject of new documents released on Capitol Hill this week. The papers came from Senator Charles Grassley, who's looking into allegations of misconduct on the part of the organization. Well, listener Gary Lewis of Baltimore, Maryland, thought our coverage of the story was unfair. He writes, in criticizing the Red Cross, it appears that you failed to read past the third paragraph of the report. Had you done so, you would have seen that the report credits the Red Cross for playing, quote, a substantial role in the immediate response to Hurricane Katrina. The Red Cross provided financial assistance to 1.2 million families, encompassing more than 3.7 million hurricane survivors. It served more than 52 million meals or snacks to hurricane survivors. Finally, a comment on a conversation that had nothing to do with New Orleans. Alice Kish of Emeryville, California, writes in about my conversation with Fred Child, the host of NPR's Performance Today. We talked about a young Venezuelan pianist named Gabriela Montero, who's making a name for herself with her improvisational skills. Ms. Kish writes to point out that other classical musicians have recorded albums of improvisation on classical music, including the venerable Jacques Lussier. And she asks for more. Such programming, she writes, would not only delight people like me, but might lead other people, especially the young, to appreciate and enjoy music that they otherwise find boring and old-fashioned. We want to know what you think about our program. Send us comments from our website, npr.org. Click on Contact Us at the top of the page. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.